Alright, we'll start. Raise your Bible with me. The Word of God, the absolute truth and final authority. Who hasn't heard and got excited about the story of Cinderella when we were kids? Cinderella, who was mistreated by her stepmother and ugly stepsister for a long, long time. And she finally received help from her animals and, of course, a fairy godmother's magic to meet a prince, and they dance a night away. Well, almost. You all know this story, how it ends. We have a better story than Cinderella. Actually, it's not just a fairy tale story. Rather, it is a part of actual Jewish history. It is about Joseph, whom we've been studying. Joseph's former cellmate, the chief butler of Pharaoh, had a temporary amnesia for 2 long years. You thought that your Green Valley moment is bad? This is worse. Joseph must have wondered if he is ever going to see the daylight outside of the prison. But when God is in the plan, we never know what is going to happen next. When God acts in an impossible situation, he becomes greater to us. The more impossible the situation, the more honor that is given to him. Therefore, in spite of the prevailing prayer, he often waits until the last minute before he intervenes. Thus, he teaches us to hold on in faith. Let me say it again. Hold on in faith. Since the scripture text repeats the Pharaoh's dream twice, we will start our scripture from verse 9, and also we will skip from verse 17 through 24. Let's stop and pray. Father, we are grateful that we are here. We know our congregation is at home, so this is a virtual church. But your word said that where 2 or 3 gather together, you are in the midst of us. Father, we pray that your name will be highly exalted through the studying of this word, and you will anoint our heart that we may understand what you're trying to teach us, and we may obey the truth that we learn from your word. Father, asking your anointing to be upon the one who speak, and forgive his sins, for his sins are many. Father, we also pray for our president, who is going through the enormous amount of pressure due to this coronavirus. Father, it is our desire for you to miraculously eradicate this coronavirus from the people's lives. But you are going to use these little germs for your glory anyway. And Father, through this difficult time, people may turn to you and seek you. And those who don't know you may come to know you. And those who are backslidden may come back to you. And those who are seeking you, they will seek you diligently more than ever before. Father, we are asking you to give him wisdom and guidance from the Holy Spirit that he may do what is right in your sight. We also pray for the health care workers who are in the front line. And we are asking you to protect them. And we are asking you to protect our troops and the law enforcement personnel and firefighters. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 9 of chapter 41, please. Then chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my fault this day when Pharaoh was angry with his servant and put me in the custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each had a dream in one night. He and I, each of us, dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted the dream for us, and to each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Stop there, please. Pharaoh woke up one morning and disturbed by over two strange dreams. He had the first dream was he saw seven fat and sleek cows who came up out of the Nile, and followed by the seven gaunt and ugly cows who devoured them. After this, the second dream he had was seven plump and good grain heads growing on the single stalk, and which were swallowed up by the seven thin and scorched heads. When Pharaoh awoke, he called for all the magicians and wise people in the land and to interpret the dreams. But none of them could. Suddenly, the butler came out of amnesia, and he remembered the interpreter of the dream and immediately pulled out the long-lost favor that he's supposed to give it to the Pharaoh. Why did God let this happen? No favor for 2 years? Because he was not through with the refining process of Joseph. And Joseph was not quite ready to handle the promotion, this kind of promotion, that God was preparing for him. What happened during the 2 years? Nothing outside. Joseph lived out the monotonous hours that stacked up in the days and months and finally 2 years. Humanly speaking, waiting is one of the most difficult tasks we can be assigned. Wouldn't you agree? We can handle it yet. We love it. Yes, in our prayer. We can't even handle when it says no, when God says no. But when God says wait, that's a different story. During the time we think God isn't doing anything, God is doing the work most important, developing our character and transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ, his son. All right, go down to verse 14, please. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. He shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have a dream. This is not a Martin Luther King Jr. And there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Again, step there, please. After those two full years, Joseph experienced a turning point in his life. For Joseph, it was just another day, another morning in dungeon. Except of one little matter, Joseph knew nothing about the night before Pharaoh had a dream. Just for a moment, put yourself in Joseph's sandal. Why has been down in the dungeon for the past 2 years? Humanly speaking, it was because the butler forgot him. But suddenly, he sprung and standing in the presence of the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And that's the butler's boss. Now, you won't hear one word of a resentment spoken against the butler. He didn't say, why didn't you tell him about me before? Joseph simply kept his eyes on the Lord, not on the butler. How often we keep the eyes on the situation or the somebody who might be able to help us instead of keeping our eyes on God. Talk about humility. Absolute integrity in verse 16. Let's go back to verse 16. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. He didn't say, yeah, you got the right man. I am the interpreter of the dream. He didn't say that. Pharaoh gave Joseph a golden opportunity to glorify himself, but he would not have none of it. He did not use this opportunity to glorify himself before Pharaoh, but only to glorify the Lord. Joseph seems much wiser, perhaps more humble than before. Remember when he was a teenager at home? He had two different dreams, right? Visions or whatever you want to call it. And he was bragging about them to his brothers, only to cause more problem down the road. Joseph clearly understood that if the truth comes, it will come from God. And he alone deserved the glory. The years of suffering have purged him, and now he has come forth as gold. Having a kind of character that refused to use God's gift of interpreting the dream as a bargaining chip to secure his own freedom. We should take a note of this. Verse 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dream of Pharaohs are one." Excuse me. "God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Seven good cow are 7 years, and seven good heads are the 7 years. Dreams are one, and seven thin, ugly cows which came up after them are the 7 years, and the seven empty heads brighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the things which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, the 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine will deplete the land, so the plenty would not be known in the land because of the famine following. For it will be this very severe." And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God, and he will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let the Pharaoh select the discerning wise man, set him over the land of Egypt. Let the Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint the officers over the land to collect the one-fifth of the produce of the land of the Egypt in the 7 plentiful years, and let him get all the food of those good years that are coming. Store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep the food in the cities. Then that good shall be as reserved for the land, for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt. And the land may not perish during the famine. Even the end of interpretation, Joseph did not use that opportunity to promote himself. He kept Pharaoh focused on the Lord, not on himself. He showed both his boldness and gift of administration. No sensible administrator would present such news without also suggesting the solution to meet the upcoming crisis. You know, when I was working for the secular company, there was we used to call it STP, situation, target, and proposal. Situation, what we have. We need to get to this kind of area. To get to this kind of area, proposal, we must come up with a solution. That is a proper way to handling the situation. And here is the man, Joseph, came up with a solution. But he was not volunteering. He said, "I am the man." But he just simply said, "You need this kind of man." There stood Joseph right before the meeting all the requirements. But even then, it seems that appropriate for Joseph to volunteer, yet he restrained himself. The king, however, knew Joseph was the man for the job. Who would not be impressed with Joseph's self-control? Refusing to manipulate the moment and drop hints, he simply stood there and waited. Somehow, in the loneliness in his recent years, abandoned and forgotten in prison, he had learned to let the Lord have his way in his time for his purpose. Absent of the selfish ambition, Joseph refused to promote himself. How refreshing and how rare. How many of us have maneuvered or plotted to get our own ways, only to live to regret it? One of the most embarrassing memories many people have is the day they got what they schemed and manipulated to acquire, only to see it dissolved right in their hands. That was not the kinds of promotion Joseph wanted. I remember long, long ago, It was before Apple become a famous company. They came up with a Macintosh small desktop publishing with a floppy disk. It cost me $15,000 to buy the whole system. Enormous amount. And it did not do what we can do. I wasn't, at the time I was not Christian, but I asked my wife, who was a Christian, to pray. Practically begging God. So he let me have that $15,000 machine with a loan. And I realized that was not working. You know, when you try to skim your way to achieve something, that is not for you. If you have to work hard to get that kind of thing or skim the way in to get the stuff, usually that's going to backfire. Remember that. Joseph learned that a broken and contrite heart is not the end, but it's the beginning. Bruised and crushed by the blows of a disappointment and unrealized dreams, he discovered that God had never left his side. Remember, as we read in chapter 40, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. It's four times mentioned. And he came forth. And when the affliction ended, he had been refined and he came forth as gold. He had become a person of greater stability, of a deep quality, and of strong character. God's promise was just as much for us as they were for Joseph. His grace is still at work. His tender mercy accompany us, and from the pit to the pinnacle. Verse 37, please. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And the Pharaoh said to his servant, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Note that, please. A man in whom is the Spirit of God. Then the Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning as and wise as you. You shall be over my house, all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And the Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. He clothed him with a garment of the fine linen and put on the gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, bowed the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." Pharaoh called Joseph's name, whatever that is, and he gave him a wife, Asenath, the daughter of the priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Stop there again, please. When Joseph counseled Pharaoh, he spoke directly, honestly for the glory of God. He wasn't interviewing for a job. He was not handing out his business card or was posting his resume in the LinkedIn website. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 6 says that, "Therefore humble yourself under the mighty hands of God, that he may exalt you in due time." That's the key. In due time. What time? In his time. But we find the qualities of the discernment and humility shown through in what he was saying. The Pharaoh came to his own conclusion. That there is no one, not a person who is more qualified than Joseph to handle this gigantic task. Verse 33 is the first mention of the Bible of the Holy Spirit coming upon a man. Pharaoh saw that Joseph was filled with the Spirit of God. So in the matter of a few hours, Joseph is given a promotion that is taking him from the pit to the pinnacle of Egypt. from the rags to the riches, and from the dungeon to the step of this throne. I see three things. Number one, Pharaoh gave Joseph the blank check financial authority by giving him his signet ring. It's like having an unlimited credit card. Carte blanche. I mean, whatever he won, the entire Egyptian wealth was behind it. Any transaction he chose to make, he could do it. The hand that was hardened with the toils of the slaves adorned with the signet ring from the Pharaoh himself. The feet are no longer tormented by the feather from the prison. Second point, Joseph also received a whole new wardrobe to match his royal authority given to him. Remember, he had a coat of many colors that was given to him from his father, that was taken by his own brothers and dipped in with the sheep's blood. And then he lost his garment to the Mrs. Potiphar with a false rape charge. Now, he exchanged all that for the royal wardrobe. Third point, Joseph was given his own government chariot convertible with the Secret Service agent. He was once trampled upon as a common slave. Now, all Egypt is commanded to bow before him as he rides Pharaoh's second chariot convertible of Egypt. And second only to the king, and I'm sure he had a black sunglasses secret agent running along the side of the chariot and talking to his slaves, talking to each other, and walkie-talkies. I don't know if they had walkie-talkies. All of that has been changed from the dungeon to the throne, the steps of the throne. From outside, Joseph looked like an overnight success. But it was more than 13 years in the making, folks. Joseph is a good example of a man who seemed to have all the gift and talent for the leadership, but God developed his character and talent over many years. Gift and talent may be impressive and immediate, but the character is what God looks for and always takes time to develop. I said this and I will say it again. There is no such a thing as overnight super Christian. You don't walk out of your phone booths and tearing your shirt and saying it is a SC, super Christian. It takes time. Usually, it takes affliction for you to understand what it takes to be the man and woman of God. Verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now in the seventh plentiful year, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the field which surround them. Joseph gathered very much grain as sand of sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. If I were Joseph, as soon as I walk into my office, prime minister's office, I would bark an order and I would tell them to go get the Mrs. Potiphar and with the heavy shackles around her and the handcuff to tell her, you mess with the wrong person. But he doesn't do that. We don't find anywhere Joseph taking a vengeance on her. We used to call the name of those nerdy and geeky people in high school. Remember with the tape around there between their glasses because they broke them a few times and they pull up their pants up to their chest and the pants pocket protectors. We call them nerd and geeks, and now we call them bosses. You never know how the table is going to turn. Verse 50, please. To Joseph were born the two sons before the years of the famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Pharaoh, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. From Egyptian wife, Joseph fathered Manasseh, whose name is Forgetfulness. This is because God made Joseph forget all the previous pain and the trials in his life. His second son, Ephraim, it means fruitfulness because God made Joseph fruitful in Egypt. We cannot be truly fruitful until we are also forgetting our hurtful past. Listen to me, please. Hell on earth would be wherever we are if we constantly remind ourselves of that hurtful past. Remembering every sight, every cruel exchange of words, every wrong ever done to us, coupled with unforgiving hearts. But we can have a small portion of heaven on this earth by putting away all these things, because Jesus can make all things new. Remember from the scripture, all the things has passed away, all things become new. Verse 53. Then the 7 years of plenty, which were in the land of Egypt, ended. And the 7 years of famine began to come. And as Joseph had said, the famine was in all land. And in all the land of Egypt there was a bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, whatever he says to you, do. Famine was all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouse and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. All the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all the land. You know, as I was studying this, God is so good at putting things together. Because before Jesus came to earth in the land of Israel, he had to bring the people to their promised land. But instead of just bring them out of the land of Canaan, because it was surrounded by all the Canaanites and all these different ites, those people had nothing but the pagan idols. So he took them away and put them into Egypt. To do that, there had to be a famine. Are you following me so far? And to have the famine, Joseph had to be in charge. And also, they had to be separated in the land of Goshen. You know, God is so good at making a plot, a perfect plot. Because Joseph believed in God's prediction and was faithful in the execution of his job, Egypt and all the world benefited. I have three applications for you. Number one, during the waiting period, trust God without panic. This is a great time to trust God. Stop buying the toilet paper. What are you going to do with the toilet paper when it's a respiratory disease? We must learn to count on the Lord to handle those who may forget and abandon us. Second point, during the time of affliction, let God encourage our hearts without fear. 13 years unrelenting affliction, that's what Joseph had. Yet, he didn't allow himself to be discouraged, to imprison his heart and make him lose hope. Why did he do? How did he do it? The only way possible, he focused on the loving God with all of his heart, soul, and mind and strength. Third point, during the time of reward, thank God without pride. You know, it's so typical, all of us, not just you and me or everybody. When it comes to prayer requests, we have a long list of prayer requests. But why is that we have to seek for the praise report? If God answers us, shouldn't we give praise to Him? Shouldn't we have an equal amount of prayer and praise report, or maybe even more praise report? We can find the praise for him in everything. Often times of a night of suffering seems that would never end. If we feel that as if we cannot remember what the dawn will be like. In our heart, we pray for the endurance and promise to thank God and give him glory when everything is over and the light comes. But thankfulness, that thankfulness and humility often vanishes like a morning mist when God rewards us. So best way to guard against this is to thank him even during the difficult time. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we don't like, humanly speak, we don't like affliction. We don't like anything difficult. But we also know that you train us, you teach us to be better through the affliction. Father, remind us to trust you without panic. Remind us to keep our eyes on you, to encourage our hearts without fear. Encourage others with a joyful heart. Joy has nothing to do with the circumstance. Joy has everything to do with you, Father. And remind us not to forget what you have done for us. And remind us, stay humble. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.